for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, April the 14th, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on How the Enemy Gets Ground.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you're our King, our God, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Protector, our Watch over Earth, our Healer, our Deliverer. God, we thank you that you're the King. We acknowledge you, Lord. We want you to be glorified tonight in all of our lives. Lord, cover us with the blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to send your ministering angels into this place. Lord, we thank you that if anyone's speaking a curse on us, that it goes back on them seven times over. We thank you, Lord, that the boulders other people roll on us, roll back and crush them. We thank you that the pits they dig, they'll fall in, and the nets they hide, their own feet will be caught. God, we give you praise and honor and glory that you protect us when we're walking uprightly before you. Lord, we send forth your angels into this place, whatever kind of angel we need. God, we ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us and over this meeting, over every person that's here, in Jesus' name, over Marilyn, Barbara, over Patty, Kevin, Linda, Sandy, Dan, Crystal, Rick, and every person that's at this camp, Lord, and every ministry that's represented, Lord, of all the ministers here, all those that are here, Lord. We thank you and praise you. God, we ask that each of us go home changed by your mighty power. We thank you, Lord, that it's the truth that sets us free. Lord, we thank you that when we receive the truth, we're free. Lord, we show us all the areas where we believe lies. In Jesus' name, we praise you. And Lord, we lift up our wonderful president today. God, cover him and all of the people that are helping him with the blood of Jesus. We hold the shield of faith over him and over America to block any attempts to hinder what your plan is in their lives, in Jesus' name. We ask you to download him with wisdom, Father, that the words of his mouth, the meditations of his heart be acceptable to you. Lord, you told us to pray for all those in authority that we might live a peaceful, tranquil life, and so we do that. We pray for every king, ruler, president all over the world in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that according to Job 22, you said that if we lay our gold in the dust and we declare the Almighty is our gold, that we can decree a thing and those who do not deserve to be saved will be saved by the cleanness of our hands. So we lift up all the opposition to America being put first, America being changed, and a revival coming to America in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Christians to humbly humble themselves before you. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to restore this land. In Jesus' name, we praise your mighty God. We bind the strong man over every life. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, from this place, from this meeting, in Jesus' name. And we loose upon each person the conviction of sin, the fear of the Lord, and a spirit of repentance to be poured out upon us. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask tonight that I be a tree of life, that rivers of living water come forth from my innermost being. And I bless you, Lord. Be glorified, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Bless the Lord. Thank you. I need to get this before I can read. No, I got it. It's okay. Thank you. That was my grandson, in case you would like to know. Oh, thank you, Lord. David is my best friend. He's been my prayer buddy for 2 years. We pray together every week. And I'm telling you, we get delivered every week or something. Thanks, the Lord. We're seeing God change people's lives. Bless the Lord. It's nice to have another family member. Him and my son are the greatest joys of my life besides Jesus. His daddy is my pastor, and I'm really blessed to be a part of the church that's teaching repentance. I thank God for this camp because this can't teach us repentance. I thank God for the word that comes forth from this place, that every teacher that teaches here is teaches repentance. And you're not going to get deliverance until you repent of your sin. Because of sin is why we are sick, and it's why we have demons, is because of our sin. This morning in our prayer little, I told our prayer group, I said, we pray for everybody's deliverance, but from 6 to 6:15, exactly, we're right on time. We pray for this meeting. We pray for the people we pray for. And there's more power in that room in that 15 minutes than I've ever experienced in any prayer meeting. And we prayed the kingdom of God would come down. And he came down here so powerfully this morning that we couldn't even hear because there were so many demonic manifestations. I had to have people get closer to me because there was too much racket in the room. But God was setting people free. And I thank God for this prayer team. I've been on the prayer team for a long time. This is the best prayer team we have ever had. Every person on the prayer team is 100% sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and King. And I am so thankful for that. We're not perfect people, but we're all a work in progress. But it's not good to have people pray for you that have not made Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of their lives. And so tonight I want to teach on how the enemy gets ground. I'm going to use a whole lot of scripture because it's not something that is really taught that much. Possibly it is, but I really heard this first through Milton Green, a man that really mentored me in the 1982. I attended 55 of his meetings. And he taught the same thing every time, but every time it was like a piece of a puzzle put together. And I thank God for that man. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to give clarity and give understanding. And I want to say this before I teach. Sometimes when you use a lot of scripture, it's like people panic and they get, you know, God's going to kill me. I'm just too bad. And years ago when I used to teach 40-hour seminars. We would go from Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. And I would look at people and they would like, oh my goodness, it would just be like a word seminar. And I would look at them like, oh dear God, you're going to throw me away. I'm just too bad. Well, we're all too bad, really. And so the Lord gave me this little potter's wheel illustration that God's the potter and you're the clay. And our clay's full of junk. I don't care how repentant you are, there's still more junk that you need to see. If you think you have no sin, the scripture says you're a liar and the truth's not even in you. And so we're all a work in progress. And God expects us to do one thing. He's the potter and we're the clay. The clay does one thing. If you've ever watched a potter, the potter does everything. He fires the clay, molds it, shapes it, fashions it, adds water to make it pliable. He heats it, he fires it. The clay only does one thing, and that's yield to the potter. And so many people that were performance-oriented when you were trained up as a child, you were loved based on your performance. So then you get saved, and you think that God expects you to perform. So instead of getting on the potter's wheel, you're trying to crank it up yourself. You're trying to fix yourself. And all God expects of you is to take your junky clay and surrender to Him. That means make Him the Lord and King of your life. And the scripture says that He has begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're trying to turn the potter's wheel, you're legalistic, you're performance-oriented, and you're in rebellion. You don't want to be in rebellion, maybe, but you think God wants you to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. God expects you to do one thing, and that's yield to the potter. And then, you know, in olden days, they had to dig the clay out of the ground, and it had rocks and sticks and weeds in it. But nowadays, the clay's already, you know, purified. But we're the clay that's full of junk, and God's got to take out the rocks, the sticks, the roots out of us, and it's His job to do that. And so if you're one of these people that have been wearing yourself out trying to turn the potter's wheel, trying to make yourself into something that you think you need to be to compare to somebody else. God knew before you were even born what He wanted you to be and what He wanted you to do. And if you yield to the potter, you stay yielded, you sin, you fall off, you confess your sin, you get back on. You live by 1 John 1:9. You walk in repentance. And so if you want to keep your deliverance, you have to walk in repentance. It's a lifestyle. You don't ever quit repenting. The more you repent, the healthier you'll get. The more you repent, the happier you'll be. The more you repent, the more demons, less demons you have. And the more sin you've been in, everywhere you violated the Word of God, you've got a demon problem. And so there's some people that teach that you can't get a demon unless you sin a whole bunch of times. Let me tell you, you step out of the Word of God and you've got a demon problem. And so God wants us to walk uprightly before Him. And so the title of this message is How the Enemy Gets Crowned. So don't panic if you think you're just too bad. God's going to say, look at your clay and say, clay, you're too bad, chunk you. He's not going to do that. He said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whoever calls upon me shall be saved and delivered, is what the Word says. And so basically, deliverance is James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. I've discovered the minute you submit yourself to God, it's boo devil, boo demon. He has to go. The devil cannot stay in a vessel that is confessed up. And so so deliverance is just James 4:7. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. And for years, since I've been a Christian, since I learned about deliverance, I've had very little people pray for me, which is great if they do. There's been times I've asked them to pray for me. But 99% of my deliverance has been just repenting over the Word of God. I have a problem. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I repent, confess my sins, turn from my sin, and it's the devil. The devil moves off. And so the sad thing today, though, in the church, is that most church members don't even know what sin is. And that's really sad because most pastors, most churches don't teach about repenting of your sin. And if you're not in a church that's teaching repentance, you need to get out of that church and get in a church that's teaching repentance. And so, but most churches today don't do that. If there's a big tither in the church, people don't want to step on the big tither's toes, or many, many churches are run by Freemasons, and so they're the big tithers, the deacons in most churches, and so find a church that's teaching repentance, and it probably won't be a very big church, because most people, they want to go where their flesh is comfortable. 60% of church members think nothing is shaking up. And the Bible says no adulterer, fornicator, homosexual, thief, liar, murderer, slander, reviler will enter the kingdom of heaven, period. You say, well, I can't lose my salvation. Well, let me tell you something. Whether you believe you've had it and can lose it, or you've never had it, whichever way, the Bible says if you practice those things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. No liar will enter the kingdom of God. No idolater will enter the kingdom of God. In fact, nobody that's lukewarm is going to enter the kingdom of God. So there's a lot of people think they're believers because they believe in Jesus with their head, but they're lukewarm. And they're on their way to hell and don't even know it. And so, you know, I get convicted. I don't think I'm as on fire for the Lord as I want to be. So, Lord, we ask you to set us on fire for you in the name of Jesus. 30% of church members say nothing of drinking alcohol. A few years ago, David and I went to a wedding, and these were supposed to be a Christian wedding, and alcohol was flowing. It's hard for me to believe. 30% of believers don't believe, see anything wrong with recreational drugs. That's sorcery. You know, recently I heard a pastor tell a story about one of his deacons was on at a convenience store, and there was a lady that had fell down and she was drunk. And so he goes up to this lady and he says, can I help you? And the lady said, what's wrong? And she said, I had a stroke. And of course she was drunk too. And he said, well, you know, have you heard that strokes can be caused by anger and unforgiveness? Do you have any unforgiveness or anger toward anyone? And he said, she said, yes, I hate my boyfriend. And so he asked the lady, he said, are you checking up? Or he didn't say those words, are you sleeping with your boyfriend? And she said, yes. Anyway, he led her to repentance and God healed her right there on the parking lot. Another time I was at a conference and sitting behind, they were doing deliverance on people. it was a break time, and I was sitting behind some people that had, they had a lady, and they were trying to get, cast the demons out of her. And I just sat there and watched them. I didn't say nothing, but they worked with her for 30, 45 minutes. I don't know how long, and they couldn't get the demon out. And so, and I'm not saying this to glorify myself, because whatever little I know, God taught me. So I give him the glory. But one of the ladies from the group came around and sat down by me, and I said, why don't they just lead her in repentance? And so she said, yeah, you do that. And I did, I said, no, I don't want to. But anyway, I did. And I asked the lady, I led the lady in repentance, and within a minute, she was set free. Another time, there was a, at another meeting, there was a man on the floor writhing, and they worked with him 30, 45 minutes, and I watched him work for him, trying to get the demon out, trying to get the demon out. And I bent down, and I felt led of the Lord to go over, and I bent down, and I said, are you in sexual sin? And he said, yes, and I led him in repentance, and within a minute or two, he was set free. I had, some years ago, I had a lady email me, and she said, the devil is doing a number on me. And she was blaming on the devil. Devil's doing a number on me. She said, I've got all these physical problems, and I'm trying to get my atheist boyfriend saved. And I emailed her back. I said, are you sleeping with him? And she said, yes. And I said, you know, the devil's not doing a number on you. God's giving you a whipping, and he's letting the devil do it. And I said, and another thing, I said, God tells you not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And so anyway, she emailed me back. She said, I broke up with him, and it broke my heart, she said, but she said, all my physical problems went away. And so we're not going to get healed or delivered until we find the root to why we have the demons and why we're sick. And so deliverance only works when you get to the sin behind why you have the demon problem or why you need healing. Deliverance is like peeling an onion, you know, because we're all, God tells us to work at our salvation with fear and trembling. The next layer of the onion is the problem that you're going through. Whatever the problem is, God's trying to point you to why you have the problem so that he can set you free. And so God says that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so I thank God. He's taught me that when a problem comes up, God's got a lesson to teach you. Lord, what are you trying to teach me through what I'm going through? You know, if somebody else is bothering me or getting on my last nerve, God's trying to show me how I've either treated someone or judged my mother and father for the same thing. And so when you can see your sin behind why somebody's irritating you, it goes away. It's easier to forgive when you realize that, hey, you've done the same thing you're accusing someone else of, or you judge your mother and father for it. Because God says, honor your father and mother that all may be well with you, and your days will be long upon the earth. And so wherever life is not going well for you, you can trace it back to the violating that principle of not honoring your mother and father. And so deliverance is like peeling an onion. I remember God sent me this girl that had come out of Satanism, and he taught me about the peeling of the onion. Is she had so many problems, I didn't know where to start. So I would have to go with whatever the problem was that day, and then I would deal with that. And one day she was saying, why am I not getting free fast enough? And I said, well, ask the Holy Spirit to show you why you're not getting delivered. And the Lord told her, deliverance is like peeling an onion. And this girl hadn't had any experience in the church. She'd come out of Satanism, grew up in generations of Satanism, tortured unbelievably with every torture anybody could go through. In fact, I can cry real easy now, but when I first started in Lake Hamilton, it was hard for me to squeeze out a tear. The Lord showed me why that was, because my daddy spanked me 4 times, and the last time he spanked me, I cried till he apologized. And then I was running out of tears, and I'd go, ooh. And I said, I told my mother one day, I said, why didn't you spank me when I was growing up? She said, I could have killed you, and it wouldn't have done any good. Anyway, I repented of that, and I told my daddy once, I said, before he died, I said, Dad, would you forgive me that the last time you spanked me, I cried till you apologized? And he said, will you forgive me for apologizing? But I was able to ask him to forgive me for that. You know, many people have made an idol out of deliverance and out of deliverance ministers, and they go seeking deliverance from a deliverance minister, which is okay to do that. We're not criticizing. That's what we're here to help you. But the most important thing you can do is to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, to be in the Word, to be a person of prayer, a person of repentance. And most of the deliverance that I've gotten over the years is I just repent over the Word and give myself to God. You can read a scripture, for example, just you can use Proverbs 3 or anywhere in the Bible where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lord, I have trusted you with my whole heart. And the next part is, lean not on your own understanding. Lord, I've leaned on my own understanding my whole life. It says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Lord, I haven't acknowledged you in all my ways. And within 10 minutes, tears are running down my face, and I'm getting delivered. If it's a body part that's sick, look up all the scriptures on the body part. There's 800 scriptures on the heart, and you can start looking at heart scriptures, and you go, it's no wonder people have heart trouble. High blood pressure is a demon. And so God wants to set us free, but we've got to find out what is the sin that's causing my blood pressure to be high. And I can tell you it's stress, fear, anxiety, and stress, maybe anger. But anyway, there's a spiritual root to why you're going through, why you go through what you're going through. You can look up the body part. And if the body part that's ailing you, if it's not in the Word, you can find the symptom. You can find depression in the Word of God. You can find a symptom in the Word of God. You can even take the Word and look up through thesaurus. You can look up in that and find different meanings of the Word and look those up, and maybe they're in the Word. And so we have to, people look for deliverance ministry, and most deliverance, what's sad, it's not happen, it doesn't happen here. But most deliverance ministers, the majority of them, they just come against the demon and they don't ever deal with the sin. And it doesn't work. I live in the country, and those of you who've lived in the country, you know, if there's a dead animal on the road, you see the buzzards have collected around it, and you can go shoo those buzzards off, and the minute you drive away, they congregate back. And the only thing that's going to keep you from not getting delivered is not repenting of your sin. It's kind of like we have to bury the carcass in our life if we want the buzzards to stay away. I remember being at a meeting, and in fact, it was, well, anyway, I'm not going to say where it was, but the leader of the prayer group said, he said, well, when you get home, just watch out, you're really going to be attacked. Let me tell you, you're not going to be attacked if you truly repent. If you get back in sin, you'll be attacked. And that poor guy said, oh, no. I didn't say that. Oh, no. You don't have to worry about it coming back unless you get back into your sin. And then you'll get seven more worse plus eight. The one that brings back the seven counts eight. It's eight of them. And so you don't have to worry about not keeping your deliverance unless you don't walk in repentance. And it's a lifestyle. It's something that we have to walk the highway of holiness. And the scripture says no lying, no fool, no unclean thing can walk there. There was a false prophet here in Texas once, and he's still in Texas, and he sent out a thing that about fanning your glory, and he talked, and he's into Kabbalah. He talked about fanning your glory, and he said, there's a highway, and the sinners can get on the highway. And I emailed him, and I said, brother, you're leading people astray. The scripture says no lying, no fool, no unclean can walk on the highway of holiness. And he said, well, maybe if they get on there, they'll change. And I said, and he said, I'm taking you off my email list. I wasn't on his email list. I was reading the Elijah list, which is 99% witchcraft. If you listen or you have the Elijah list that comes to your, it's most of those people are just off the wall stuff. And so, but I'm sure there's some good ones. But intimacy with the Lord is the greatest thing you can do, is have your life. And, you know, we're not talking about perfect people. We're all imperfect people. Amen. We're all full of junk. Our clay is all full of junk. I mean, I can tell you Jesus is the Lord and Master of my life, but God looks down and he sees so many things that are yet undone. In fact, this is not yet done. This is a curse. And praise God, it's the hardest thing I've ever gone through, but I'm a little better. So hallelujah. When I first was diagnosed with eye problems in 2008, I 90% believed God would not heal me. He could, but he wouldn't. And I 10% believed that he would. And after all these years of moaning and groaning and repenting and turning and burning, now my faith level is 95% believe he will. There's still a little 5%. Last time I was here was 10%, now it's 5%. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the devil's not doing a number on me. God's got a purifying work to do in me. There's so much pride involved with eye problems. And so we need to be intimate with the Lord, because when our hearts are right, that is intimacy with the Lord. We need to read His Word and be in His Word, and you're not going to walk free unless you're a person that's in His Word and praying. And so we need to know what God has to say to us. And so I thank God for the deliverance that I've gotten over the years. And so I had, and I'm saying this, I'm not saying this to glorify myself, but it's to encourage you that Jesus is the great physician. But I had not been to the doctor in 26 years until I had cataract surgery in July and October. And I thank the Lord for that. I've been on no medication. I'm on no medication now. I even threw away the last medication they gave me for the eye stuff because the side effects was causing blurred vision and muscle weakness and heart palpitations and weight gain. And I just, and tiredness and fatigue. And I praise God. He told me to throw it away, and I threw it away. And I tell you, last time I had my eyes checked, the pressure was normal. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a and plus, the last, when I went for the last final checkup for my eyes from the lady that did the eye surgery, they told me that they couldn't increase the glasses, that was all they could do. And so I went for an appointment to have the pressure check after I got off of the eye drops, and they were able to increase these a little bit. So that tells me I'm better. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be better too. Praise the Lord. Many people that believe in deliverance treat the devil like he is bigger than God. Can I tell you, the devil cannot do one thing that God does not let him do? Not one thing. Many deliverance ministers, it doesn't happen here. Thank God that the people here are, I believe, mature and stable. In many places you go, you actually get demons. But people that leave here go home changed, and I can testify to that. I've been coming, the first time I came to Lake Hamilton was 1997, and I tell you, every time I come to this camp, I go home different, and David does too. We go home changed, and if you can come to all the camps, the more camps you can come to, I told one guy one year, I said, if you come and live in Hot Springs for a year and attend Lake Hamilton, you won't even know yourself next year. And that was absolutely true. They came and lived here a year and moved, and then God changed their life. So bless the Lord. And so the truth is that it's not a demon problem. You've got a God problem, and I have a God problem. And so we have authority over all the power of the enemy. But if we're trying to pray for somebody that's not repentant, you could pray all day long till your tongue hung out, and it wouldn't do any good. Psalms 91, and the scripture says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, you're my God in whom I take refuge. Back it up to the last one. Just leave it there. You can also be swallowed up by demons. There's people that are swallowed up in your deliverance. If you ever pray for somebody, and those who are in the prayer team, you pray for someone and it's like there's a wall there. They're in the demons. And this is the scripture that backs this up is 1 Peter 5:8 that says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that word in the Greek means gulp down, drink down, and swallow up. So you can be in this swallowed up place, in a spiritual prison. I was praying one day when the Lord first taught me that you can have demons, you can be in the demons, or you can have demons in you. And I was praying for this person, and I knew this person was swallowed up. And I was saying, while I was praying for this person, I said, Lord, how do you get him out of there? And the Lord said, jerk him out. And so I took their hands, and I said, I jerk him out of there. And they went, wow, I felt that. And so we can be in that swallowed up place, and that's really a picture of a false refuge. Okay, the next one. Okay, when you're in God's refuge, Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God abides under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress. You deliver me from the snare of the trapper, the noisome pestilence, the arrow that flies by day. If you're outside of God's refuge, you're out there in Satan's territory where the arrow flies by day. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be diligent, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Okay, do the next one. And see, when we're either in God's refuge under the shadow of the Almighty, or we're out there under the shadow of death, out in Satan's territory, we make a refuge out of something else. It says in Jeremiah 51, I believe, I can't read that from here. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which is the type of the devil, has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. So when you read the word devour, a lot of times it has to do with the enemy devouring you. Okay, the next one. And so we make a refuge out of drugs, alcohol, sex, attention, whatever. And so you either make God your refuge, or you're making something else your refuge. You're trusting in something else. These are false gods. You gotta love me, you gotta value me, you gotta see how wonderful I am, you can't reject me. And I can't read, can anybody read that, the scripture?
Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol, we have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception.
Right, we made falsehood our refuge, concealed ourselves with deception, and trusted in lies. And so God wants us in his refuge. Let's roll back up to the first one. What's so sad is that most people are born outside of God's refuge because their mother and daddy was not under God's refuge. And they're born outside of God's refuge generationally. And so, when we're out there where the fiery darts fly, God tells us to take up the shield of faith. And of course, God is our refuge, our fortress, our deliverer. And so, Second Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. And I'm going to use a lot of scriptures. So, a person can sit and watch TV or watch a movie all night, but when it comes to the Word of God, sometimes it's hard. But let me tell you, the Word of God is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. God first taught me this when I attended Milton Green seminars. All he did was read the Bible for 3 days. And I'm telling you, I saw so many miracles and so many, because the Bible says signs and wonders accompany the teaching of his word, not my words, but his word. And so praise God. Psalms 107, verse 10 says, there are those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, and just because they have rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So these people are prisoners in misery and chains because they have rebelled against the Most High God. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and out of the shadow of death. So there's a shadow of death and a shadow of the Almighty. And he broke their bands apart. And then it says, they cried out to the Lord, and he sent his word and healed them. He didn't say he sent folks to heal them. He said he sent his word to heal them. And I thank God that the healings I've gotten over the years has been because I have repented over the word of God. and just keep on repenting. You can find the answer to all your problems in the Word of God. Now, if you want someone to do it for you, let me tell you something, you're not going to live an overcoming life. God, nobody can pray for you. You're going to have to work out your salvation yourself with fear and trembling. In Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you know the story of Adam and Eve. God told them they couldn't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they could eat off of any tree in the garden. And Eve got some fruit, gave it to her husband, and it said that the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, and he wasn't saying that he was more crafty than the lions and tigers. He was saying that he was more crafty than all the demons. And you know, the temptation, and after they sinned in the garden, fear entered them. They lived in the garden without fear, but fear entered the garden through rebellion. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear, but fear has torment. And so they went and hid themselves, made fig leaves, and then God spoke to the serpent. He said, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. So he told the serpent, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. And now he speaks to Adam in verse 17 of chapter 3. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So he told Adam, you're dust, and he told the serpent, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. Does that tie in with 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, be diligent, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so what he's saying in this is, Adam, every time your flesh nature manifests, I command the serpent to bite you. Okay, Amos 9:3. Though they hide in the summit of Carmel, I will search them out and take them from there. Though they conceal themselves from my sight on the floor of the sea, from there I will command the serpent and it will bite them. And though they go into Amos 9:4, and though they go into captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the serpent, the sword, and it will slay them. And I will set my eyes against them for evil and not for good. So when you see the word sword, that's another word that he uses the demons to carry out the sword. For example, in Psalm 17 verse 13 in the King James Version, David is saying, Lord, deliver me from my, I'm paraphrasing, deliver me from my enemies, which is thy sword. So he's telling you in Psalm 17 that when you see the word sword, that's the enemy. And Paul said, your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Ecclesiastes 10:8. I'm not going to read that later. Acts 13:40. Therefore take heed. Now, Paul is warning us believers that there's something in the Old Testament that we need to be careful of. And so he says in Acts 13:40, therefore take heed so that the things spoken of in the prophet might not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you would not believe, though someone should describe it to you. But that was taken right out of Habakkuk 1:8, Acts 4:40. So he's saying there's something in the prophets that he's warning us of. And of course, you can see it all through the prophets. Habakkuk 1:1 says, and this was a vision that Habakkuk saw of a supernatural army never before happened in history called the Chaldeans. And he said, the oracle with which Habakkuk the prophet saw, how long, O Lord, will I cry for help, and you do not hear? I cry out for you violence, yet you do not say. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored, and this is the reason, the law is ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. Look now among the nations, observe, be astonished and wonder, because I'm doing a work in your days you would not believe. Now, we just read that in Acts 13:40. You would not believe if I told you. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, which is a supernatural army of demons, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. Now, a real army can't march without throughout the earth, because when it gets to the water or the ocean, it has to stop. It says, and they seize dwelling places that are not theirs, because we are a dwelling place of the Lord. We don't belong to them. It says they are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come from galloping from afar. They fly down like an eagle swooping down to devour. There's the word devour again. All of them come for violence. Their hoarded faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty for whose strength is their God. Now Habakkuk asked God a question in verse 12. Are you not from everlasting to everlasting, O my God? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. So he's saying that he's sending the Chaldeans, and then Habakkuk is saying that God is allowing this because he has created them to judge and to establish, and he's established them to correct. So God uses the demons to correct us, to give us a whipping if we step outside of God's refuge. We're out in Satan's territory, and that's the place where we get beat up by the demons. Habakkuk 1:13. And so he answers the question, your eyes, O Lord, are too pure to prove evil, and you will not look with wickedness on favor for those. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? So there's the word swallowed up again. And then if you read the book of Joel, it talks about Joel's army. And years ago, there was a song by Big John Hall where they run on the city, they leap on the wall, they crawl in the windows. Maybe that's the same windows, I don't know, your computer. But your eyes are the windows of your soul. And that song was sung like that was an army of Christians coming. But if you read the book of Joel, it's an army of demons. And it says God's great army in that. And so the people take that as an army of Christians. And anyway, that song is an error. If you keep on reading Joel, you see it comes like locusts and it kills everything, and then it leaves nothing but a wasteland behind them. If you read words like northern army and army from the north, that's an army of demons coming against the sin in the church. Jeremiah 13:9 says, thus says the Lord, just so I will destroy the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who walk in stubbornness of their own hearts and have gone after other gods to serve them and bow down to them. Listen and give heed. Do not be haughty, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness, and before your feet stumble on a dusty mountain, and while you're hoping for life, it makes it into deep darkness. And when I was studying this, I saw also why so many times that we, when we have eye problems, we need light. And so you see how he brings darkness because of pride? He says into deep darkness and turns it to gloom. But if you will not listen to it, my soul will sob in secret for such pride, for my eyes will bitterly weep, this is what Jeremiah is saying, and flow down with tears because the flock of the Lord has been taken captive because of pride, stubbornness of heart. Psalms 35:24, judge me, O Lord my God, according to my righteousness, and let not And let them not rejoice over me, speaking of the enemy. Let them not say, aha, in their hearts, so would we have it. And let them not say, we have swallowed him up. And you know, don't take my word for it. Look up all the scriptures on swallowed up, and you'll see who swallows a person up. Sometimes, when we're growing up as children, because there's so much trauma, the only way we can cope is to check out emotionally, and when we do that, we get swallowed up by the enemy rather than deal with stuff. Psalms 14:4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and not call upon the Lord? For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Lord he will not be shaken. Your hand will find out all your enemies, and your right hand will find out those who hate you. Psalms 81:15 says those who hate the Lord pretend obedience. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if we do not love the Lord, anyone who does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. In John 14:26, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you say, if you don't keep his commandments, you're under a curse. Demons carry out curses, and holy angels carry out blessings. Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Proverbs 28:18 says, he walks blamelessly will be delivered. Psalms 17:13, I've already quoted that, the enemy is the sword. Leviticus 26:25, in Leviticus 26:14, it says, because you break covenant with the Lord. You know, the new covenant is kept when we love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our spirit, and our neighbor as ourselves. That keeps the whole covenant. And so the way we break covenant with the Lord now is to not walk in love. And if we don't walk in love, the scripture says we get cut off, according to John 15, as a branch and thrown in the fire. And so every branch in him that does not bear fruit is cut off. So Leviticus 26:25, because they break covenant, he said, I'll also bring upon you a sword, which will execute vengeance for the covenant, and you will gather together in your cities. I will send pestilence among you, so that you will be delivered into the hands of the enemy. Now I want you to notice who sends this. God says, I will send it. I will send it. Deuteronomy 32:16. They made him jealous with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed the demons who were not God to new gods who came lately, whom they had not known. New gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you, and we know the rock's Jesus, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. So it's talking about believers, his people. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be for their perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous of what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So you see, anger and jealousy is a fruit of idolatry. It says Revelation chapter 9, verse 20, that if we worship idols, we worship demons. And you know, we might not bow down to Kali or Diana or Buddha, but our gods nowadays is anything that makes us angry. You know, we get angry if we don't feel like we're loved like we should. Whatever pushes your button is connected to a hot wire that's connected to an idol. And so God says, because of idolatry, he's going to provoke you to anger. Verse 22, for a fire is kindled in my anger, God says, and burns to the lowest part of Sheol and consumes the earth with its yield, and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap misfortunes on them. So there you see misfortune because of idolatry. I'll use my arrows on them. Now he's calling the arrows that he tells us to hold up a shield against, he's calling on his arrows. And I will be, and you will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague. So there you see famine. Being consumed sounds like cancer, plague, and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts God said, will send upon them with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside the sword will bereave and inside terror. You know, this word terror is a stronger word than fear. But this word terror, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means the idol is the booty bear. And I guess the best way to illustrate that, some years ago I was sitting at a Dave Wilkerson conference, and you know, he preached Turn or Burn. And I sat there and I was thinking, in my heart, I hope he don't say I have to get rid of this. You know, we shouldn't be living our life to see how much we can sin and get by with it. That's just kind of where I was back then. I don't want to get rid of that. But I thank God, you know, after all these sermons, you want to get rid of whatever he's got there, right? Outside the sword were bereaved and inside terror. Both young man and virgin, the nursling and the man of gray hair. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men. Had I not feared the provocation of the enemy, that their adversaries would misjudge, that they would say, our heart is triumphant, and the Lord has not done all this. And we say that today. Oh, it's not the Lord, it's the devil doing it. God's allowing it. For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, and they understood that one could chase 1,000, and two could chase 10,000, unless their rock had sold them. Now, who's the rock? Jesus? How one could chase 1,000 and two could chase 10,000 unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up. Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. And so the problem with these people is they were worshiping idols. Jesus is our King. He's our rock. But it's saying that their rock is not like our rock if you're worshiping false gods. Even our enemies themselves judge this. In other words, when the demons see that your rock is not Jesus, your rock is some false refuge, something you're trusting in, they see it and they judge it. They know. For their vine is from the vine of Sodom. Now, Jesus is the true vine, right? So it's saying that these people that worship idols, they've got the wrong vine. They're connected to the wrong vine, the vine of Sodom. And from the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. So that's their fruit. Their wine is the venom of serpents and deadly poison of cobras. Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed by my treasures? Vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time their food will slip, for the day of their calamity is near and the impending things are hastening upon them. And I'm just going to jump to 36. Oh, well, no, let me go. Yeah, verse 36. For indeed, the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on them when he sees that their strength is gone. In other words, when God sees you turn from your idols, he'll have compassion on you when he sees what you're trusting in is gone. And he will say, where are their gods? And then in verse 39, I want to read that to you. It says, see now, God says, that I am he, and there's no God besides me. It is I who put to death, and it's I who give life. It is I who's wounded, and it is I who will heal, and there is no one that can deliver you from my hand. So what it's saying is you can go to the world for answers, but if you're under some curse, then nobody can deliver you. Only the Lord. In Deuteronomy 28, because of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments, there's like 50 to 60 curses that come in because of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments. And you can read those curses. One is severe and lasting plagues, miserable and chronic sicknesses, failing eyes, unrest, if you live in unrest. You can just go through. In fact, I recommend that you go through Deuteronomy 28 and see what all you're under. You'll be surprised. And people that don't believe that Christians can have a demon, it says that lung problems, it says eye problems are demonic. It says confusion, severe lasting plagues, miserable chronic sicknesses. It goes on and on. You'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Curse will be your basket and your kneading bowl. Curse will be the fruit of your ground, the produce of your ground, the your cattle, your stuff will be cursed. Everything will be cursed. Lamentations 2, verse 3, the whole thing is about the harlot and the judgment on the harlot. The harlot is when you pray a prayer and receive Jesus and your heart goes after other lovers, false gods, then you commit spiritual adultery against your bridegroom Jesus. So it says in verse 3, in fierce anger, this thing jumps, so I'll find it again. I'm not going to apologize for reading all these scriptures because the scripture does more good for you than anything I could do or say. Because it's going to burn stuff loose. So just bear through it and you're going to get delivered. I haven't learned how to make this thing not jump. Maybe one of you computer experts can help me. Okay, I found it. In fierce anger, thank you, David, he has cut off all the strength of Israel. Now, who's cut it off? He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire consuming all about. He has bent his bow like an enemy. Now, he's not saying God is the enemy. He said he's bending it like an enemy. He's using the powers of darkness. He has set his right hand like an adversary, and slain all that were pleasant to the eye. In the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his wrath like a fire. The Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. You say, well, you know, that's talking about Israel, the Old Testament. I could teach a whole 2 or 3 hours to show you in the Word of God that everything that's in the Old Testament is in the New Testament.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.